The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Ross. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Ross, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're tuned in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Wisdom Wednesday presented, of course, by DraftKings. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. You know this, 5 teams, 7 years, classic journeyman, thank goodness. Gave me the opportunity to have a bunch of different gigs in the media, which I really enjoy, as well as this podcast network. I thought Steve Fezzik was fantastic on the Even Money podcast yesterday, talking about why the Bengals will win the AFC North. Highly encourage you to check that out. We also talked about the 5 most injured teams from 2023 per sixscore.com, which is really important information because there's a great chance that those teams bounce back and at least exceed expectations here in 2024. So highly recommend you check out the Even Money podcast. Joe Dolan's always great on the Fantasy Feast show. We are only 3 times a week here in the offseason, which means you have at least a couple other days to listen or watch the college draft, Even Money, Fantasy Feast. You can watch youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Very excited, by the way, about today's guest. I think it's probably a topic we should dive into a little bit more. We don't talk about that much because I'm like in the industry. If that makes sense, it's like how often you want to talk about broadcasters and broadcasting when I am a broadcaster or broadcasting. I do have a shout out for today. Adrian Guzman is our latest patron, patreon.com/RTmedia. It's big show time.
The big show.
It's always nice when you get a chance to talk with someone that's been on your must interview list for probably at least 6 months, maybe longer than that. He does an outstanding job. He's the best at what he does, which is pretty cool to say about anybody, about anything in life, right? I'm talking about Andrew Marchand. Used to be with the New York Post for a long time. Now he's with The Athletic. He covers sports media. You can and should follow him on social media at Andrew Marchand. A lot of juicy sports media, in particular NFL media topics this time of year that I wanted to dive into with Andrew. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Nice introduction. I appreciate it.
It was great to get a chance to meet you in person at the Super Bowl. We actually just ran into each other. Wasn't expecting that to happen. But obviously, I've been following your work for a while. I'm curious, Andrew. Yeah, obviously, I have a bias, right? Like, I work in sports media, so I'm especially interested in the stuff that you report and have to say. Talk to me about sort of your field in general. I mean, in my head, it feels like it's growing. It feels like it's getting more popular. Obviously, The Athletic thought enough of you to hire you away from the New York Post. But again, I don't know if that's my inherent bias or not, since I'm actually in the industry.
I think it is a very popular subject. I mean, I think if you look at how sports operate, you know, it's basically the financial aspect of it. It comes through the media, I mean, I think we saw that during COVID, you know, the amount of games, not with the NFL, but with the NBA, with baseball, with hockey that they actually ended up playing. Those are due to their contracts, a lot of their national and local contracts. That's why they reached the certain numbers. So they were going to get paid. And, you know, I think if you look at it for someone like me, you know, I'm on your podcast, NFL podcast. So you talk NFL, then, you know, we had a college football story. You know, we've had college football stories that, you know, have a lot to do with media. So you talk college football, it's like on Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, switching from NBC to TNT Sports and Amazon. So you're a NASCAR writer, even though I don't know anything about NASCAR. So it hits a lot of, and everyone has an opinion. You know, I joke about everyone wants to cover sports media, but everyone has an opinion about what they're hearing, who they like, who they don't like. So it's a pretty popular subject.
That is a really good point. Everybody does have an opinion, and you're right that your field crosses over to every different sport, but it is funny. I mean, what I hear a lot from fans and friends is basically about the guys they don't like, you know, like they'll just tell me, I hate listening to this guy stinks, whatever. And I always think, well, I think he's pretty good. And also it's a lot harder than you think it is. Like it's so much easier when you're on your couch than when you're actually up there calling the game and things are happening so much faster. And you got the producer in your ear and telling you this and all the things that kind of go on behind the scenes. But it's funny, Andrew, because I was talking with somebody recently. I said, listen, just know this, even if you're considered the best or one of the best, probably 20% of the people are going to right off the bat say, you suck, just because it's the easier way to go. I mean, I even see people say that about like Greg Olsen. I'm like, Greg's about as good as it gets. Like, if you don't think Greg's good, who do you think is good?
Yeah, exactly. And I think you hit it on the head, and you've been in the booth both for radio and for television. I think calling NFL games, you know, might be the hardest thing to do in sportscasting. It's just a different skill. Like, you know, what we're doing right now, even though you're hosting, which also takes, you know, different talent than like what I'm doing here. I'm just answering questions. This is pretty easy. You're setting me up. I know the subject. I'm going to respond. When you're in a booth, that's something that's kind of unconventional, and how do you take it from something that's very complicated like the NFL? I mean, the coaches after a game, you know, often, it's not as an excuse, but often say, and a lot of times it's true, I got to look at the film. Well, you got to be there and have a judgment right away and kind of see things, and you want to be right. And you know, obviously you guys, you know, if you played for as long as you did and studied it, you see things that the fan doesn't see. But how are you able to present that so it's simple for fans so they can understand what's very complicated and in the moment? And so that's a lot going on. And then, like you said, you have the producer, you have the play-by-play guy. And that's a big part of it. Like for someone like you, to me, you know, one of the biggest thing is who your producer is, and even more importantly, who your play-by-play person is. And that can kind of lead to your success or failure in terms of having a long career, because, you know, those people, if they're invested in trying to make you look good and putting you in the best position, kind of like a point guard in basketball, you know, that can really, it can open you up to hit your shots.
Andrew, it's a terrific point. You know, I've worked for, you know, several networks and obviously had a bunch of different producers and play-by-play guys. Makes a big difference. There's no question about it. It makes a big difference. And then even this year, you know, I did several games in a three-man booth, both college and NFL, with Jason McCourty. That makes a big difference too. Like who the other guy is in the booth if you're a three-man booth. For us, like we joked that it was perfect. Like for me as an offensive lineman and him as a defensive back, it was almost like we had our own areas of expertise, so to speak, right? Like we almost, Andrew, and you kind of know this stuff, but I think my listeners will appreciate it. We almost kind of knew for the most part ahead of time, even which cameras would be for who, mm-hmm. right? So like if it was the sky cam or the high end zone looking at, you know, the offense from behind, that's probably going to be me talking about offensive line, defensive line, something up front. If it was a wide receiver ISO camera or an all 22 look, probably going to be Jason, right? Because I can say something, but it's probably not going to be as good as the guy that was an NFL DB for 13 years and vice versa. It's self-serving, but I was joking to our bosses. Like, I think they found something here. you know, maybe it's a D lineman and a wide receiver, right? But like having guys different side of the ball, different parts of the field, I thought it was really, really cool. And I actually think, Andrew, that's one reason why Greg Olsen is so good. The two that jump out to me, his dad was a high school coach. You can definitely hear that in how he talks about things. But tight ends are actually the position that has to really know coverages and routes, but also know the blocking. You know, even more so than a quarterback, right? Like, the tight ends are the one guy on the field that really have to know both aspects of it really well.
100%. And just to your first point with Jason, you know, I did a big story about Jason and Devin, so I got to know them a little bit. And I knew their reputation prior to that. But I also think when you're in a three-man booth, it's very important that everyone's thinking about the team and not themselves, because the real issue that you come into is that, you know, people want to stand out and they want to make sure their voices are heard. And so you're not linked up. And so for it to really be good, and I think even for the individual long term, it's better if everyone's on the same page and kind of pulling in, like, this is better for the broadcast. It can't just be about, like, I'm trying to shine. And not that it's like they're trying to make the other person look bad, but it needs to be working together. And then your point on tight ends is true. I mean, obviously the quarterback is going to always get the shine. And we see that with who, you know, the most part, the lead analysts are, just because, you know, number one, they're the most famous. Most of them either were all pros or Hall of Famers. And the game goes through the quarterback. But you're right, you know, being able to understand in detail what's going on, because what you said of your initial point, stuff's going fast. You might have played in the NFL. Like, I think, like, Peyton's incredible on the Manning cast in terms of how he's, like, hosting the show. Eli's making fun of him. They're doing small talk. And he still will sometimes, he'll give you, like, you know, very, like, explain it really well what just happened in the secondary. And again, it's Peyton Manning, so obviously, you know, it's kind of like, okay, that you can understand how that happens, but just the level of thought that he has and what he sees is pretty incredible.
I'm actually curious about that, the alternate casts. How does that work, Andrew? Because I'm curious, like, for ESPN, right, they're paying the rights for this, you know, to broadcast Monday Night Football. Don't they feel like if someone leaves ESPN to watch ESPN2, like, they're just, like, robbing Peter to pay Paul? Like, I'm always curious about sort of the economics of that and the thought process. And is it basically, hey, this is better than anything else we could have on ESPN2 right now? Or is it maybe we're bringing in new viewers?
So, yeah, that's the question. Like, rival networks executives will say they're just sort of, you know, not really additive, that they're just kind of taking from their audience and just kind of slicing it up and then paying, you know, they're paying a lot of money between Joe and Troy and then the Mannings. But I think what ESPN and Jimmy Pitaro were trying to do with the NFL, they wanted to bring the shine back to Monday Night Football. And they struggled for years, you know, the Testator, Jason Witten, Booger McFarlane, and it wasn't really the fault necessarily of those guys. It's just some of the, like, how that was put together, how that was, you know, the Booger Mobile just was not really well conceived. And so I think that they've really been trying to making that special. And I think, you know, it has an identity now, a positive identity when it once didn't. And the Manning cast came in before they got Aikman, before they got Buck. And so your point's well taken, and you can make an argument that, you know what, they're just kind of putting part of their audience. And other networks, you know, not everyone's doing that, and you know, not as often as ESPN does it. But I do think their relationship with the Mannings, they value a lot, and there's more to it with Omaha Productions, et cetera.
And I'd imagine the NFL likes it, right? It's like, it's a way for them to be on another channel and to get the Mannings involved talking about it. It's a different way for people to consume the game. I mean, I'm sure the NFL is like, hey, let's do it.
100%. I think it's for the NFL, you want the Mannings involved. You know, Peyton said no forever. You know, he was pursued by basically every network. They offered him a lot of money and he just said no. He didn't want to do it. And this, you know, this is a pretty good, he goes to his friend's garage each, you know, 10, you know, he picks the dates. It's a pretty good, it's basically like, here's a lot of money and you get to work from home, like, or his friend's house. And it's a pretty good deal for Peyton Manning.
you know, you had a column recently up at The Athletic about Jason Kelce. Obviously, I'll be talking about his retirement a little bit later in the show. But he's thought to be one of the most sought-after broadcasting prospects this offseason. The other name that we haven't heard as much about more recently is Bill Belichick. I think his son said he is looking to get into broadcasting. Just your thoughts on those two guys. You know, is there a guy out of those two that you think the networks would want more? And if so, why? Just your thoughts on those two guys.
Well, I think it's more likely Kelce ends up on a desk than Belichick, because first off, he's kind of all in with the podcast that he has with his brother. And I just think there's long-term, he looks like somebody who they could do it. You know, the issue for Belichick is that, you know, there is a feeling, and it seems pretty understood, that he wants to coach again. So to make such an investment when you might be only for 1 year, I think places will be a little bit hesitant for that. And, you know, Belichick's a little bit different. What does he want? You know, that's a question as well that has to be answered, because, you know, he doesn't have to do this. And I think there's a pretty good chance. You tell me. Let me ask you a quick one. I'll turn the tables. You think Belichick coaches again?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I would be shocked if he didn't. He won't verbalize this. He wants that record back.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he wants that record back. I will say this. I came up with a term for this, Andrew. You feel free to steal this.
Okay.
You know, so many people didn't want, you know, it was so interesting is doing the stuff I do for Odyssey, right? So I do radio hits all over the country. So I'm talking to people in DC and Charlotte and whatever, and Atlanta. None of the fans wanted Belichick. Like, I was shocked. Like, it was at best 25%. Yeah. I would ask the hosts, like, do they want Belichick or do they not want Belichick? They're like, no, nobody wants him. My theory is he's going to do media somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And I'm calling it media washing, right? Like, we all only know Belichick from a press conference.
Yep.
But when he goes on TV and he's not talking about his own team and he's not worried about giving anything away, he's going to actually show some personality. Yep. He's going to have some insight. And as a result, people are going to, like, they're going to start to like him. Like, people are going to be like, you know, and by the end of the year, people are going to say, you know what? He's one of the best coaches ever. I kind of like him on TV. I want him to be our coach here in Name the City, right? Like, I think a year or a season in the media is going to go a long way. I don't know rehabbing his reputation is the right word, but like, one season in the media will make a lot more fans anxious to bring him in, more so than they were this offseason.
100%. And I think when you look at it with these coaches, you know, Belichick, you know, we all like, you know, everyone discusses who's the greatest coach, who's more important, Brady or Belichick. And in most cases, it's both, right? Like, Belichick and Brady, yeah, obviously Brady went and won a Super Bowl in Tampa. And, you know, that kind of gives them, like, if you're doing arguments, you have to go on what actually happened. So that helps Brady. But you got to, like, the way that Brady was developed was by Belichick and, you know, and his staff and the defense being as good as it was. And so I think when you take a step back and you look at, you know, Belichick and if you'd want him, if you're an organization, I think, yeah, like you just said, I mean, even like without the media stuff, I think people will look back and be like, you know, let me take a stab at, I get it, he's in his 70s, but, you know, that doesn't seem to stop many people these days in terms of continuing with careers. And so I think an owner will say, like, there's the greatest coach of all time out there. Let me go get the win record. And more importantly, let me get to the playoffs and maybe possibly win a Super Bowl, because I think if you look at those Patriot teams a lot, and, you know, you follow this much closer than I do, but I think they had a pretty good defense this year. You know, they were missing the quarterback, which, you know, when you had the guy who's considered the greatest of all time, made it easier, of course. I mean, I think that was the difference in what they did.
Yeah, I think you're right, Andrew. I think the combination of time removed from this bad last season with whatever he does in the media, I think that combo is going to help him. Plus, you know, whatever his demands were, whatever he wanted this offseason, I believe he will lower those if that's what it takes to make sure he gets a coaching job next offseason. Man, I had like five more questions I could ask you, which is good. That means I'll have to get you on again sometime, Andrew. Really appreciate it. Highly encourage you to check him out on social media at Andrew Marchand. He's the best at what he does. He's the best guy out there right now when it comes to covering sports media. Obviously, if you guys watch or listen to this show, you like sports media, you like to consume it, make sure you're giving him a follow and reading all of his stuff at The Athletic. Thank you so much for the time, Andrew. Really appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Ross. I appreciate you.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed Andrew as much as I did. Hope you guys enjoyed Andrew as much as I enjoyed DiGiorno. DiGiorno knows that planning a watch party on a budget isn't easy. You got to have that perfect setting, the ideal squad, perfection when it comes to what you're eating. Luckily, you're a game time mastermind. You know, just grabbing a DiGiorno classic crust pizza can bring home a dub because it's packed with half a pound of cheese, sauce, other toppings, comes at an incredible price. Make the game-winning call and grab a DiGiorno classic crust pizza from the grocery store today. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. Got to have something delicious like DiGiorno to wash it down. You know how I roll. Labatt Blue Light. So tasty. I don't know how they make it the tastiest light beer of all time, but to me it is. Drink some Labatt Blue Lights this weekend. It's a Wednesday. Hump day. Drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends. Live life to the power of we. Always do it responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Tux Takes.
All right, Ross, a lot to get to. We'll start with what happened Monday afternoon after we recorded that morning. Eagles center Jason Kelce, he's retired after 13 seasons in the NFL.
And I'm going to make this, because I probably have a little bit to say about it, maybe a lot of it to say about it. I'm going to make this my Labatt take of the week, Jack. Presented by Labatt Blue Light to pristine Canadian Pilsner. Enjoy your beers together so you live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Man, that Jason Kelce speech got to me. I mean, that really, really got to me. Brought back some emotions that had been dormant in me for a while. Everything he said is exactly, felt like we were sharing a brain, especially the part about never feeling more alive. It's hard to describe to people unless you've been there, but there's really three things about it that jump out to me. It's like in the locker room, when they say 2 minutes and everybody comes together and you're about to walk out there, like goosebumps everywhere. Just talking about it. And then when you run out in front of 70,000 people or whatever it is, and then you're out there on that field, you cannot pay for that. You know, like I think about like the richest guys, right? Like Zuckerberg and Bezos, all these guys, right? You can't pay for that. I mean, I guess I'm sure they could like pay a million, you know, 70,000 people to be in the stands or whatever, but you have to earn that. You have to earn the right to have that experience, to have that feeling. Loved Kelce's speech. What makes it especially difficult for him, he had a choice to make. You know, for me and a lot of guys, like it was over, I hurt my neck, whatever. He could have chosen to experience that at least 17 more times. He's saying no. And really, in my mind, he's choosing his family and his daughters over football. And man, that is the right choice, Jason. Speaking from experience, that is the right choice. I think it's a very unselfish move from Jason Kelce, and I applaud him for it.
We got some contract news. Mike Evans, he gets a 2-year, $52 million deal, $35 million guaranteed. And the Texans, they give Titan Dalton Schultz a 3-year, $36 million deal, $23.5 million, fully guaranteed. Both will avoid free agency.
Well, you know, Dalton Schultz has always just been good. I don't know why he doesn't get contracts like this more often. He's just a very solid player. I'm happy for him, and clearly CJ Stroud liked him. And then I'm glad, I like, you know, just speaking about Kelce, I like when guys can stay with one team for their whole career. Hopefully that's the case with Mike Evans. Big money, he deserves it. He's still very, very good. I don't think he wanted to go anywhere either.
Speaking of big money, the Broncos are going to release Russell Wilson at the start of the new league year. They're going to take on $85 million in dead money, still guaranteeing him $39 million this year.
Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, one of the worst trades ever, one of the worst contracts ever. and Russell Wilson can go somewhere else theoretically for the minimum, which is unbelievable.
Tag, you're it. Panthers, they tag edge rusher Brian Burns. Ravens tag they tag defensive tackle Justin Madubuike. Bucks, they do the same for Antoine Winfield. Jags tag Josh Allen. Bears tag Jalen Johnson, the cornerback. Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman gets it, as well as Patriots safety Kyle Duggar gets the transition tag.
Right, none of these really come as much of a surprise. I guess tomorrow with Greg, we're continuing the draft series. I think we got wide receivers maybe up with Greg. Is it wide receivers, Jack, or is it? No, it's quarterback two, isn't it?
Part two, quarterback.
We gotta talk quarterback part two. There's some other quarterbacks to get to with Greg tomorrow, which will be fantastic. Very much looking forward to that. And I'll also dive into some of the other guys that actually are free agents. You know, I don't think there's a major surprise with any of these guys that aren't free agents. I think we thought most of these guys would get tagged, and they did. I think what's more interesting is who are the guys like a Christian Wilkins from the Dolphins that are going to actually be able to hit the market. Plus, guys are getting cut left and right. We'll talk more about that tomorrow as well, as we have a Greg Cosell Thursday to wrap up the week. Absolutely cannot wait. Other than that, I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out MyFrontPageStory.com. Not only is it the best gift you could ever give a loved one, but if you get it and forward me the sponsor confirmation email, you're automatically a winner, and I'll send you a signed press pass. MyFrontPageStory.com, BackOfficeScheduler.com, SteakhouseSports.com, HumanHeadNYC.com, Sporticulture, Pizza Boy Brewing.